Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Before we get into Labor Day, you know, you've covered and done so many stories on the Pullman Railroad Car Company, and this past week was a huge event.
It's still going on.
Yeah.
Today, I believe at 10 o'clock this morning, is the official ribbon cutting ceremony for the new visitor center. And I was down there Saturday, and Dave, let me tell you, they have done one tremendous job fixing up the building, the area. It's quite attractive and remarkable.
Talk a little bit about what Pullman Car is all about.
Well, okay, this was one of, if not the first planned industrial community in the country, where the idea was people would not only work there. Pullman Railway Company was there to manufacture rail cars and lease them to the railroads, by the way. They didn't sell them. They leased them.
Brilliant.
So George Pullman owned everything, and including the houses and the buildings in which the people lived and worked.
That's
worked there, you lived there.
Yeah.
But now, while that sounds kind of utopian, there were certain things you had to abide by in the community there. And
but that wasn't uncommon around the country. I mean, I think, wasn't it Hershey, Pennsylvania was kind of that same thing where people lived where they worked and were that part of the community and the churches and everything else?
Pullman had schools, a library. There is still to this day a church with an active congregation in Pullman.
That's cool.
And people still live there. That's the other thing that's remarkable about Pullman, is that it's not something that is totally, completely in the past. The business is no longer there. But the housing and the dwellings where people lived are very much occupied.
That's amazing.
And boy, Saturday was a busy day down there.
I bet.
Great to see the people that were there. May I play a brief cut from an interview that I did?
For $5, yeah.
Okay. I'll pay okay. for the price of your jingle.
Okay.
I'll pay for your jingle.
Yeah, contribute to the jingle, will you please?
Yeah. We talked I want to thank, by the way, Terry Gage, who is superintendent of the Pullman the National Monument there now, and also Paul Labovitz, who is superintendent with the Indiana Dunes. He was involved. But we also talked with Joe Sabo, who is president of the Historic Pullman Foundation. And then we met Mike McTaka, who is with the Pullman Historic Foundation and vice president of the Illinois Labor History Society. He shed some good light on what Pullman is about.
Pullman is really a national site. And what's significant, and I think of it in these terms, democracy. How do you get democracy in the workplace? And when workers came here with Pullman, they had actually a beautiful town, nice place to live, steady work, but they couldn't elect their school board. They couldn't elect their city council, and they had no voice at their workplace. So that struggle for democracy, that struggle to find a voice, is what really brought Pullman out. And then this whole attempt to organize a National Railroad Workers Union simultaneously and the national boycott, probably the most impactful strike and boycott in American history, shutting down traffic in 27 states, you know, when the railroad was the only way to go. And then this fierce reaction from the railroad companies and the President of the United States to call in federal troops, federal marshals, and basically a military reaction against workers trying to find a voice on the job.
And you know what's remarkable about where we're standing is that action took place right here where we are, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is, you know, you get a real feel when you look at these homes, and you can imagine, you know, you go through the neighborhood here, you see the different size homes based upon the person's status in the plant, and you know, it was really an attempt to do something good for people, but without letting people have a say in the process. And again, the other part of it, too, is craft. You know, to look at the railroad cars, the trolley cars, everything that was built here, these folks had skill. They had knowledge, and they knew how to work wood. They knew how to work metal, and they knew how to build a real quality product that, of course, George Pullman made a fortune off of, and was something that became synonymous with good quality, a good ride, and then, of course, the whole civil rights struggle, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. to, again, have a voice in their workplace and fighting not only a labor union battle, but a civil rights battle at the same time. And I think, you know, in some ways this has been a kind of forgotten little part of the city, but an incredible story. And so to have people discover this, to take some pride in what's going on here, and the neighborhood people here have been working on this for over 50 years. You know, the Labor History Society, this has been one of our goals. So, you know, this is a real American story. And to have it here in the city where people can come and view it from dimensions of model town, workers' rights, industrialization, civil rights, that's America. And they can find that story right here in the city of Chicago.
So what a great place to visit. Now, you talk about the architectural boat tour. This is a place I want to go check out and just check out the history of this whole thing.
In Pullman?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating. And the more you get into this story, the more fascinating it is. As Mike mentioned, the labor strike in 1894 ended up culminating in Congress creating our Labor Day holiday. And also the sleeping car porters that also worked for George Pullman, the first African-American union to establish a labor contract in the United States.
In 1884, the first Monday in September was selected as the holidays originally proposed, and, you know, to celebrate the American worker, which we do, of course, today. Labor Day is also the third most popular holiday weekend for barbecuing after July 4th and Memorial Day. And according to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, don't you belong to that, Andy? Do you remember?
My membership was revoked.
No, okay, it was revoked. I don't want to know why. It says it ends on Labor Day. Like, okay, whatever. Like, who comes up with that? Whatever. All right. The legacy of Jerry Lewis. I want to talk a little bit about this in the Labor Day telethon and the MDA. When I still think of this weekend, I think of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. They still do a lot of events. They do a lot of streaming things, but not at the level of the telethon that they did with Jerry. It was almost seven decades. Jerry Lewis, you know, producer, director, writer, and movie star, as host, he raised over $1.5 billion over that period of time that he hosted. And it was the biggest names. At the end, it was getting a little scary, but it was the biggest name and the biggest stars that appeared. But you remember watching,
oh,
you know,
all the time.
Yeah. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis used to conclude their popular NBC variety show with a special appeal for the MDA every week. And it was 1966 that he did his first Labor Day telethon, and they raised about $1 million. It was just on a New York station. And he continued each year as the telethon grew into a huge event, more than 200 stations. Think about the names: Bing Crosby, Jack Benny, Adam Sandler, the Friends cast. Ed McMahon became a stalwart on that show. But the music performances, the comedians, it was fantastic. Frank Sinatra, of course, was on there. And that was the big thing. Back in the 1970s, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, famous comedy team, they broke up quite a long time ago. And Frank Sinatra decided to bring Dean Martin on the show to reunite with Jerry Lewis, which was probably the biggest event in the history of the MDA. It was watched by like 65 million people. We've got a little clip from that moment when Dean and Jerry started talking. Let's take a listen.
I don't know.
So how you been?
You know, it seems like We haven't seen each other for 20 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was all those rumors about our breaking up, and then when I started the show and you weren't here, I believed it.
Can I show you guys to your room if you like? The lights are out upstairs, so follow me.
Oh, he drinks a lot, this kid.
So you working?
I work.
So that was a little bit of their reunion, but this is my favorite clip of all time on the show. So Jerry wasn't well in the last couple of years. He gained a ton of weight and, you know, just, I mean, had some serious issues, breathing issues. He had to sit down, almost do an interview show because he just couldn't walk around and do much. And he invited Don Rickles on, who just busted his chops through the entire interview. Let's take a listen.
You know, the kids need help, but stop. Don't beg. Don't beg. You were a big star once. You got to remember who the hell you are. You don't have to sit there and beg for the kids in the wheelchairs. Let them live and be well. God will be good to them. But you don't have to stand here and have a fireman sit here for 8 hours, and then you sit with the $3 million, and they're walking around going, I'm busting my brain for the lousy $3 million. These guys, they give you the money gladly. How long have you had that? Anyway, you don't got enough. You don't have enough trouble. Now you got to twitch. Man's sitting there like a Jew whale, and he's twitching.
Oh, my God.
There's the old buddy, Ed McMahon. Every night he gets up in the morning and punches Johnny Carson's picture. How you doing, big guy?
Good, Don. You're looking good.
I looked
good.
In your trailer. The booze is running down the stairs. We used to drink together. You didn't do that. You were busy chasing broads. Anyway, you folks don't know this guy. When he was with Dean, rest his soul, this man was in heat 24 hours a day. That's why he got the bad back and everything. Sliding off those broads all the time. Boom. You're smiling at that. You were so big once. It's a funny business how you wind up an announcer for the heavy Jew sitting over here. For kind of...
Heavy Jew.
Well, I know you've been sick and all, but it's a good gimmick. Hey, telethon, you know, every year it comes out the same with the tuxedo and the gum and the licorice and the make someone happy. So he comes out here like a fat guy with no tie, bum, 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 and a mercy mission. And it's a good gimmick. It's catching on. But God bless, you're going to be well. I swear to God. Sit on the boat with the wife and the kid, you know, and you have that new wonderful child. How old is the child now?
11.
Yeah, that's... What's the other one in Illinois? He drops him by a train station. He's got five sons that are sitting home now going, where's the check? With the telethon, we need a check.
I mean, he would do this telethon for like 21 and a half hours at a time. The tie would be off, the sweat would be dripping down his face, but amazing. Last telethon was in 2010, but if you want more information on the MDA, you can visit mda.org.